Gigit, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glan and Plan Le Watt.
Hester McDonald joins me in the studio. It's time for Digit, and we're giving away a beautiful Christmas tree. Hester, what Christmas tree are we giving away?
We're giving away a Nordman Christmas tree, and they are beautiful because we sneaked into Shillaga last week to have a little look.
We did, because we wanted to also see the Christmas market.
And it was lovely.
It was really nice. We had a nice little walk around. Those pictures will be going up on Instagram at some point today, that's for sure. So my question, let's just launch this competition straight away. My question to you is, what is the ugly Christmas ornament that you have that keeps going up on the Christmas tree each and every year? Hester, I'm going to throw you the same question. Is there one that you just bring out?
I don't have
it.
My mother has too. My mother has a toilet roll Mary that I made when I was in reception class. So it's not new, let's say, and it used to be blue, but it's now sort of brownish because the glue's leaked through. She also has an unidentifiable clay lump that my brother made, which hangs on the Christmas tree with a brown and orange wool, which is nice.
Do we know what that was supposed to be?
My brother doesn't know. He thinks it might be a sheep, but honestly, it might be the baby Jesus. I've no idea.
I like this. We can just change it each year, as long as he says it with conviction. Yeah. Oh, yes. That
it's this thing.
The third of the wise men.
Yeah,
of course.
It could be the stable.
Who knows? Beautiful. Keep them coming in. We've got lots of your messages coming in to win this Christmas tree from Shillaga Garden Centre. Worth noting, you will have to go and pick it up from the Garden Centre in Glan. But that's what we've got to give away today. We're talking about Christmas gifts. It's 3 weeks away. Christmas is not that far away. So you have some great ideas from Switzerland, from further afield. Let's launch in. What would you like to see under your tree this year?
Something of a Japanese wonderful garden tools theme, actually.
Go on.
And I'm going to start with a thing called a hori hori knife.
What's that?
A hori hori knife is like a very narrow trowel that has a serrated blade to it. So you can use it as a knife. So it chops weeds, you can dig up weeds with it, but it's really elegant, neat knife that you can also use for planting bulbs or anything else like that as well. And they are not too long. They usually come with a sheath so you don't accidentally stab yourself in the leg.
Thank you.
Which then can clip onto your belt or can clip onto a toolbox or something like that. And usually they have a handle made of beech wood or something. It's nice and light like that. The best ones have the blade that runs right up inside the handle so that they don't snap. Yes,
I do.
Useful.
I do have a question. What's the sort of price point that we're talking about? Is this eligible for a Secret Santa?
Where, if your Secret Santa is 20 francs and under, yes.
Great.
Because they are available from about 20 to 40 francs. They're very good. The excellent website, bloomling.ch, have them for 20 francs, which I think is pretty good. And I've had a good look at them. They look very good quality. And they come with the sheath and the clip and all the rest of it. They're excellent.
Staying on the Japanese tools, what else?
I would quite like a Nijiri Kama Japanese sickle weeding tool. Now, this is one of the ones that often comes up in the tools you didn't know you needed until you used it, and then it's your best tool ever,
I see,
type thing. So if you think about Getafix and Asterix and Obelix, who always had a sickle in his hand, it looks exactly like that with a slightly longer handle. And you can use it for weeding between paving stones. You can use it for getting up difficult weeds. It's a brilliant tool. Very light, easy to use, well balanced. You just need to say whether you're right or left-handed because the sickle curves slightly. So you need to specify whether the person or you is right or left-handed when you order it.
You could buy it for yourself. Coming up in just a moment, we will be looking at some tools straight out of Switzerland, Swiss-made tools, notably some Felco secateurs. We'll be talking about that coming up after the news at 9.
Dig It, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glan and Plan Le Watt.
We're talking about different Christmas gifts that you could give away with a gardening theme. We've also got a Christmas tree to give away from Shillaga Garden Centre. Just tell us about those ugly Christmas decorations. We'll get into the draw for that. Hester, I did say we would look at a Christmas gift that was a little more local. And actually, it's a pretty big brand, in fact, that you might recognise.
It is. So I would like to have, under my Christmas tree, would be a good, really good pair of secateurs. And how about an actual, I would call an investment pair from Felco. They're a Swiss company. They're based near Neuchâtel. And I spoke to Stefan Kopiecki, the sales director of Felco, about what makes Felco different.
the only Swiss company that's making secateurs here in Switzerland and been doing so since 1945 in the Watch Valley, so the heart of watchmaking. And the precision, the attention to detail, the quality that's put in beloved Swiss watches around the world is also put in each pair of secateurs that leaves our factory. From day one, the founder, Felix Flisch, he wanted to create a secateur that was lightweight, durable, and that you could change all the parts. Because back in the day, a secateur was essentially two pieces of steel. The blade and the handle was all one piece. And once the blade was worn down, you had to dispose of them and buy a new pair. And he thought that was wasteful. And it was also heavy, not ergonomic. So he created a revolutionary tool, which was made with aluminum handles, so forged aluminum handles, and then all the rest of the components, the blades, the hardware, the spring, everything was replaceable. So it was actually a durable, long-lasting product. That concept that he created actually, was to give professional pruners a tool that lasts. But in today's thinking as well, it's actually a durable product. So it can be passed down for generations. It's not a disposable product that's you use for a season or two and then you need a new one. No, this will live as long as you don't lose it.
It sounds like actually quite environmentally friendly, but as long as you don't lose it, as he says at the end there.
Yeah, as long as you don't use it. Now, you can get very useful pocket sheaths. They're these beautiful leather sheaths that you put your secateurs into. So if you're going to buy yourself a pair, maybe get a sheath as well. And it stops you stabbing yourself in your leg. And in fact, you see every single Swiss apprentice that has a CFC in horticulture, they all have them because they get them when they graduate.
When we talk about an investment, though, an investment in gardening, what kind of price range are we talking about for these secateurs?
Well, 50 francs and up.
Right.
Which is not nothing.
Okay.
But for a properly Swiss engineered watchmaking insight about engineering, I think that's quite a good price.
We're taking a look at some of the things that, Hesse, you would like under your tree. But what about for someone that you know well? How about other people? What are you going to be buying for others this year?
Well, do you know what? If someone's very good, they might get the new Falco pair, which are black.
There's the new fancy ones.
There's the new fancy ones. They're in a tin. They were designed for a gardener called Stéphane Marie, who's a very, very well-known French gardener. And it's based on Artner Herbier, which is a collection of plants that he's dried plants out of his own garden, and they are designed with beautiful green and red plants painted onto the handles. It comes in a beautiful tin with some little cards, also from his Herbier. It is absolutely lovely, but it's 125 francs. So somebody's got to be very good.
Let's go on to the other end of the budget. Let's go for quite a small budget. If you're buying things, what kind of things do you recommend, I don't know, to like different clients?
So I always tell my clients to get a notebook for the garden and actually start making notes, and preferably one with a little packet, sort of an envelope at the back that they can tuck seed packets into or labels that have come off plants so they do remember what they bought. So I would look at one called Write in the Rain. It's an American company. They make notebooks for use outdoors, originally designed for field work for botanists and geographers and people like that. But actually, they've got golf versions and things, basically anywhere it's likely to get wet and the paper doesn't rip and you can write on it in the rain. That's why it's called Write in the Rain.
What about something for harvesting?
I want a berry comb.
What's a berry comb?
So they were developed in Finland for harvesting those low-growing native blueberries, the little teeny tiny ones that grow very close to the ground, and you just comb the plant and the berries fall in. So it looks a bit like a dustpan, as in a dustpan and brush, but it's got teeth on it and you just comb it through the plant. They're absolutely fabulous and I really, really, really want one.
Collect your berries for that. And what about something maybe like a stocking filler?
How about some slate labels? I love slate labels and I use them for all of my plants, partly because it's quite hard for the writing to rub off, unlike, using a China Graph on yellow.
Is it just a little kind of label on a spike?
Yeah, so you can either have them on a spike or the label itself is a spike.
Got it.
So they look like little road signs. They're very cute. And you can write them on them in chalk, or you can write on them in a white pen that often comes with them as well, which only rubs off with alcohol or with nail polish remover.
Little chalky pen. I think it's also quite good to write on not just what they are, but how often they might need watering for the pot plants.
That's a great idea. And then you can do it as a gift. I think they make really lovely gift tags.
Very nice ideas indeed. Coming up, we'll be looking at some different books. If people quite like books, it's a good idea as well. Something easy to post to. Stay tuned for more Dig It, looking at your gift ideas.
Behind every great man, there's a great woman. Because whilst my husband, Santa, is great at delivering presents, I've been busy too, creating a secret garden. This year, Shilliger Garden Centre are dedicating their Christmas market to me, Mrs. Claus. For exclusive decorations, Christmas crackers and delicacies, visit my Shilliger Christmas Market in Gland, Plan-les-Ouates and Matron. The shop in Gland is open this Sunday. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Looking at different Christmas gift ideas, something that posts quite well might be a book if it's not too heavy. But Hester's got a couple of books. You love a good gardening book, don't you?
Do you like a good gardening book? And even though I think almost all the information in the world is available on the internet, sometimes you need to know where to look. And if you're already in the book, then you've got the information right at your fingertips and you don't need to fiddle around going, oh, well, what is this thing? And I also quite like diving a bit more deeply into one subject in an intensive manner rather than, jumping about like confetti like I usually do.
Which books have you been burying your nose into of late?
So I've got a few, and I think this is just brilliant. And I haven't found any other ones on the subject. It's called How to Garden When You Rent.
Nice.
Which is just brilliant. It's by the wonderfully named Matthew Pottage. Isn't that a lovely name?
Pottage.
Yeah, Matthew Pottage, published by Dorland Kindersley, who have a great reputation for producing well-structured, clear books with good diagrams and good photos. And this is a really excellent practical guide. And it starts with keeping your landlord happy. Brilliant. Shared spaces and lots of really great ideas about where to spend, where to save, like where not to waste your money,
yeah,
and how to take your garden with you when you move. And I have to say, I wish I'd had this book with it when I was renting, because I wasted a lot of money.
Like, what kind of top tip do you think?
So it's things like being clear, if you house share, who's going to look after stuff when you're away so it doesn't all die when you get back? Are people happy with plants indoors? Are people allergic to anything? What should you not plant? All that kind of stuff. Talking to your landlord up front and being really clear about what, if you plant a tree in a garden,
whose is it?
Does it belong to them? Does it belong to you? All that kind of stuff. Just about where to not waste money is also really smart. About, do you want to do a teeny weeny greenhouse? How much time do you really have? Is it south facing? Is everything going to burn and die in there? All that kind of stuff. It's just it's very sensible.
Talking about plants that have burnt and died, then there's another book that you have got to recommend for us today called The Plant Rescuer, which might then be appropriate.
It's brilliant. So this is Sarah Gerrard Jones, and it's by Bloomsbury, which is a very lush, beautiful publisher. And if you look at the book, it's very, very pretty. If you follow her on Instagram, it's called The Plant Rescuer, and it's lots of top tips. And I think she either finds and skips, looks for or gets given endless plants that have reached the end of their useful ornamental life, possibly, and she brings them back from the dead. She's really good, and she basically shows you this is how you do it and this is how you avoid accidentally doing the same thing yourself.
So this is mainly for pot plants, in internal plants.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's an advocate that against the idea that pot plants are often given as gifts and then die 2 weeks later and people chuck them out. And she says that's absolutely not the case. They're not an alternative to a bouquet of flowers as a gift. They should carry on living for years. And she's demonstrating how to do this. So the subtitle of the book is called The Book Your Houseplants Want You to Read, which I think is ace. And it's unusual that it features some useful yes-no diagrams. The simplest thing you have ever seen. Are things like, has it been watered? What does the soil feel like? If you stick your finger in, does soil come out on it? all that kind of stuff.
Given that our most popular question that we receive is it dead yet? That's what we receive on this show all the time.
I think if a lot of people got this book, we'd have a whole section of questions we'd never need to answer again.
Oh, no, I miss those.
Which I'd be sad about.
I'd miss them. I know that you particularly love a rose, so go on.
I do. I did kind of think, do we need another book about roses? I've got 7 books about roses on my bookshelf, so I was a bit like, not sure. However, this one's published by the RHS, and it's by Michael Marriott, called RHS Roses, An Inspirational Guide to Choosing and Growing the Best Rose. Now, Marriott, who I've actually met, and is a very, very nice man, is one of the world's leading rosarians. He worked for David Austin for decades and knows roses inside out, and not just as a specialist, but also new approaches for including them in gardens, how to design with them. And so it gives a quick historical glance back, which is actually very reasonable, very approachable, and a simple explanation of the different types of roses, which is normally a very complex subject, and he manages to render it easily and accessibly, and an introduction to fragrance, which is very interesting as well, and loads of ideas on planning modern rose gardens, or more personally, how to put roses into your garden. Now,
coming up, we'll be taking a look at different events that you might like to buy tickets for in the coming year. This could be a great present as well. If maybe you're trying to give a gift to someone that you don't necessarily live with, it could be quite convenient. So stay tuned. We'll go through some of those. In the meantime, I really quickly just want to jump over to our competition, because we're getting some really hilarious entries for this, asking you about those ugly decorations that you pull out each and every year for your Christmas tree. You'll go into the drawer for a Christmas tree. It's a Nordman tree stand. 1.8 metres tall, courtesy of Shillinger Garden Centre, and thank you to them for a lovely prize. The winner will have to go and pick it up, just to keep you posted on that. We've got Susie, who says, my favourite Christmas tree decorations are 2 miniature carved hand-painted rocking horses from Canton Zurich. Love listening to this morning's show. Thanks, Susie. Great to have you. Also, we got Laura, who says, we got lots of decorations from children's art projects, going back to Mums and Tots. The grown-up kids now try not to put them on the tree, but usually give in to my childhood memory Goldie's argument. The best one, Laura says, is a green and pink Santa. The very small kids had a choice to make baked pottery Santas or Christmas trees, and they were presented with 3 colours, green, red or white for the tree or glass decorations, and correctly coloured earthenware all fell off and died, but there's a green Grinch Santa that survived. It'll be going up any day now. Beautiful. I'm very excited. Also, she says, yes, we have another toilet roll, cake liner decoration angel, and some old pine cones with glitter. It's all part of Christmas. You're also in the draw.
Dig It, sponsored by Shillinger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
Talking about different gifts that you can give away for Christmas that are garden themed. On today's Dig It, Hester has got some great ideas for events. In fact, if you are trying to steer away from buying things, then buy experiences for your friends and family. What do you suggest?
Exactly. So I would suggest, this is a really special one, go to the RHS Chelsea Flower Show. It's kind of the biggest and best, certainly of the British flower shows. It's a very special day out in May in London. This year's dates are the 23rd to the 27th of May, and there are 2 members' days, which are the first 2 days reserved for RHS members, and the remainder are public days when anybody can buy a ticket. And the half days and the public days are £45.85 sterling, or a whopping £89.85 for the full day. I would say wear comfortable shoes and be prepared to change your itinerary around the BBC film crews, because they're pretty much everywhere.
Who will be there? Okay, so that gives us enough time to actually work something out. Is a half day enough to cover the Chelsea Flower Show?
I think if you're just going for the experience, yes. It starts at 3:30. The half day tickets open at 3:30. And if you're going for the experience, well, in which case, go and have a Pimm's and some strawberries or a scone and just look around the big gardens, go to the big tent, and then you're kind of done. If you're a real hardcore garden fan and you're kind of watching the pre-coverage and you're deciding which gardens you want to see first, you need a whole day.
Now, if you are prepared to jump over to the UK, Chelsea's not the only one.
No, in fact, the RHS have lots of shows. And the other London ones, Hampton Court, which is in July, it's the 4th to 9th of July, there's a lot more to buy, which is one of the complaints about Chelsea. There's not a lot to buy. There's loads loads to buy at Hampton Court, loads of accessories and all sorts of bits and bobs, and a much more reasonable ticket cost of £28.85 for a half day and £36.85 for a full day for public tickets, which is a lot more accessible and allows you to maybe treat yourself to a nice lunch as well. Later in the month, they've got Tatton Park in the north of England, and that's the 19th to 23rd of July, and it's a little bit cheaper at just under £30 for an all-day public ticket.
Love it. Give us something a little closer to home.
I would think about maybe going to Chantilly. Now, Chantilly is just outside Paris. It's part of the castle there and the horse racing stables, and it's held in the grounds of the chateau. Loads of gorgeous plants, loads of really nice accessories to choose from, and it's very nice to treat yourself to a lovely day out within very easy reach of Paris. It's a half hour train ride. It's very easy. Dates for next spring are the 12th, 13th and 14th of May. Tickets go on sale in January and they're only €17. So you can also stay somewhere quite nice and go for a nice dinner as well and still have a lovely day out.
I'm surprised that we've got this far without talking about Orto Calario.
Yeah, well, it's next autumn and the dates 2023 are the 28th of September to the 1st of October. I would go in a heartbeat. It's a perfect time of year to visit Italy. It's a perfect time of year to see the other gardens on the lake like Balbaniello or Villa Carlotta, all of which are stunning classical Italian gardens that are worth seeing by themselves. It's gorgeous. Accessories, plants, lovely food, lovely people. I mean, what more could you want? And the tickets don't go on sale till next spring either, but they're €12, a whole €12 for the discounted ones, and they go up to 17.
If it all seems like too far off for you, then one thing that you can do this weekend is go along to Shillinger Garden Centre, wander around their Christmas market, as Hester and I did earlier this week. It was rather magical.
It's lovely. Lovely. And you have to go and look in the little greenhouse and see all the little animals having their afternoon tea.
Having the afternoon tea party. So they've got this whole Christmas market. You wander around, do go around in the order that they have put it. Don't go around backwards or anything. You've got to go through. You'll get to see Mère Noël. It is the French, Mrs. Claus. You get to see Mrs. Claus and Santa Claus as you wander through, and all of the different animals. It's all beautifully themed. It's very, I would say as well, very traditional theming with lots of things that are red and velvety this year.
Yeah, it's lovely. And if you look very carefully, see where it gets frostier and have a think why it might get frosty.
There are little Easter eggs to go. I mean, not literal Easter eggs, but little like things like that. Little kind of
little details
that are really well thought out.
It's gorgeous.
Shillinger Garden Centre is open this weekend. Now, you've just got another, I would say, 15 minutes to enter our competition to win this Christmas tree that we're giving away today. This Nordman Christmas tree, courtesy of Shillinger Garden Centre, asking you about the ugly decorations that you put on your tree each year. Christina says, since we're in Switzerland, anything mountain themed. Of course, Santa and reindeer can all ski, according to our tree.
Oh, right. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Keep coming in. You've got another 15 minutes to get into this competition. Hester, thanks so much for digging. We'll catch you in the new year.
We will.
Shillinger, let your inspiration grow.